Hello everyone, and welcome to JTalk Extra Time. John Steele here solo for this episode. Basically, I'm going to run through all of the results from last weekend in J2 Round 11, and then I'm going to hand you over to Magic Mike Innes. He has all the latest J3 news, including lots of Emperor's Cup qualifying results from the weekend as well. Without further ado, let's talk about the J2 weekend, round 11. Now, two games were brought forward to midweek, Wednesday the 20th of April. That's because Tokushima and Oita were involved in Lavan Cup action over the weekend. So in the two games last Wednesday, it turned out to be a perfect night for Tokushima, who beat a very tired-looking Iwate 5-0 at Pocari Sweat Stadium, in form Shota Fujio scoring a hat-trick. Fujio put the home side in front with a 19th minute header and had his second goal right before half time from the penalty spot. To be honest, from my point of view, it was a very soft penalty with Toi Kagami adjudged to have brought down Takashi Abe. I think it was pretty much a dive from Abe, to be honest. But yes, it was 2-0 to Tokushima at half time. In the second period, it was pretty much attack versus defence, with the host scoring three times in 6 minutes. Fujio completed his treble, knocking in a rebound in the 70th minute, and just 2 minutes after that, a great goal kick from Jose Suarez set Masaki Watai running clean through to make it 4-0. 4 minutes after that, Tokushima sub Kazuki Nishia bundled in a fifth goal for the home side from close range, and that's how it finished, Tokushima 5, Iwate 0. Only Tokushima's second win of their draw-heavy season, while Iwate are really starting to struggle after a bright start to life in J2. It's four straight defeats for them now. Another side who enjoyed their midweek football were Kanazawa, who produced an impressive display in a 3-1 win away at Oita. Kanazawa had a lucky escape at the end of a goalless first half as friend of the pod, or Sam Robson anyway, Shun Nagasawa saw his header come back off the base of the post, but it was 0-0 at the break. The visitors then rocked Oita with two goals in the space of 6 minutes early in the second period. In the 53rd minute, a clever through ball from Riku Matsuda sent Kyohei Sugiura clean through, and he went past Oita keeper Shun Takagi to put Kanazawa in front. And yep, 6 minutes after that, Masamichi Hayashi doubled the lead with a header from Kazuya Onohara's cross. I think Shun Takagi might feel like he should have done better with this one. The ball seemed to go straight through him from Hayashi. Midway through the half, Naoki Nomura pulled a goal back for Oita, sweeping in a low cross from about 12 yards. That's two goals in two games for him since coming back into the side after injury. But Kanazawa killed the game with a classic away team counter-attack, 12 minutes from full-time. Hayato Otani and Shogo Rikiyasu, both on as substitutes, linked up well together down the right flank, and Rikiyasu's low cross was perfect for another sub, Sho Hiramatsu, who made it 3-1. And that's how it finished, Oita 1, Kanazawa 3. Four away wins for Kanazawa already this season. A great start for them. Oita have already conceded 16 goals in their 11 J2 matches, so it's not hard to see where they need to improve at the moment. Continuing the sort of unusual fixture feel of round 11, there was also Friday night J-League in J2 over the weekend. On the 22nd of April, Kumamoto and Okayama played out an entertaining 1-1 draw at Egao Kenko Stadium. In the first half, both sides traded chances. Before Okayama took the lead in the 25th minute, Yudai Tanaka brilliantly volleying in Mitch Duke's left-wing cross from 12 yards. And Okayama held on to that lead until the midway point of the second half, when Koki Sakamoto cut inside from the left flank and found the perfect route through a crowded penalty area to send a curling shot past goalkeeper Junki Kanayama from just outside the box. Both teams went all out to get a winner, but it finished Kumamoto 1, Okayama 1. Okayama and Kumamoto both on a run of 3 games unbeaten, but it's 3 draws for Okayama, and 1 win and 2 draws for Kumamoto. The majority of the Round 11 games came up on Saturday, April the 23rd, and Yokohama FC are now 7 points clear at the top of the table, still unbeaten after a 0-0 draw away at Tochigi. A fairly uneventful game, in all honesty, so not too much to talk about, but a second straight draw for Tochigi, but they're winless in their last 4 games. So Yokohama FC couldn't get the 3 points, but they still look to be in a pretty good position at the top of the table at the moment. It finished Tochigi 0, Yokohama FC 0. It's Sendai who are up into second place after they beat the bottom club Ryukyu 2-0 at the Yurtech Stadium. No goals in the first half, but Ryukyu showed us why they're in such big trouble this season when they handed Sendai the opening goal just before the hour. Ryukyu got themselves into a terrible mess after their goalkeeper Junto Taguchi took a short goal kick. Eventually this led to defender Makito Uehara being dispossessed by Ryoma Kida, and he crossed for Felipe Cardoso to tap in his first goal of the season. Uehara, by the way, was making his first appearance of 2022 at the back for Ryukyu, and probably wished he hadn't bothered. An interesting aspect of this goal too was the frustrated reaction of Cardoso's strike partner Yusuke Minagawa. He was visibly furious that Kida's pass had gone to Cardoso and not him, and while the other players were celebrating, Minagawa kind of turned away and was waving his arms around in frustration. Very interesting, and not something that you see too often. With 10 minutes left, the roles were reversed for Sendai as Cardoso robbed Takayuki Fukumura in Ryukyu's left-back position and then centred the ball for Kida to make it 2-0. Kida scoring for the third game in a row and the fourth time in five games. So it finished Sendai 2, Ryukyu 0. Ryukyu are just not going to get away with defending like that and survive in J2 this year, and you have to wonder how long their beleaguered coach Tetsuhiro Kina has left in charge at this rate. Tokyo Verdy a third, a point behind Sendai, but they failed to win for the third game in a row and had to come from behind to draw 1-1 at home to Jeff Chiba. Jeff had the better chances in a goalless first half here. Tomoya Miki wasted a great opportunity as he put the ball wide when he went clean through, and Solomon Sakuragawa forced a decent save from Verdy's keeper Toru Takagiwa as well. 7 minutes into the second half, Jeff did go in front. Sakuragawa sent Toshiyuki Takagi racing clean through, wide on the right, and he confidently fired past Takagiwa when he got into the penalty area, so Jeff 1-0 up. Verdy had to wait until the 81st minute for an equaliser, and when it came, it was a lovely touch from Ryuji Sugimoto to set up Ryoga Sato inside the box, and he swept the ball home to make it 1-1, Sato scoring for the third game in a row. And there was nearly a late Verdy winner as Sato got on the end of another Sugimoto cross, but his header came back off the outside of the post, and it finished Tokyo Verdy 1, Jeff Chiba 1. Niigata are level on points with Verdy, 19 points. After their third win in four matches, they came back from a goal down to beat Nagasaki 2-1 at home. No goals in the first half, but chances at both ends. Shunya Yoneda nearly put Nagasaki in front in the 15th minute, but a Niigata defender produced an excellent block on the goal line. For the home side, Kaito Taniguchi went close twice in the first period. Firstly, his powerful close-range effort was blocked by Nagasaki keeper Masaya Tomizawa, and then Taniguchi saw his volleyed effort come back off the post. I think Tomizawa managed to get fingertips onto that, and it was an excellent save, if so. All three of the goals in this match came in a breathless 8-minute spell midway through the second half. In the 68th minute, Nagasaki took the lead when Cristiano's right-wing cross was beautifully headed in by Edgar Junior, but the advantage for Nagasaki only lasted for about 5 minutes, as Soya Fujiwara got the last touch onto a Niigata corner and bundled the ball over the line to make it 1-1. Things got even better for Niigata just 3 minutes after that, when a careless giveaway from Nagasaki defender Ryo Okui led to Shion Honma crossing for Yoshiaki Takagi to score the winner with a nice side-footed volley. And that's how it finished, Niigata 2, Nagasaki 1. Nagasaki's first defeat in five matches. They've been in really good form this month generally, but yeah, good win for Niigata in the end. Machida Zelvia are fifth, but they're now without a win in four matches after losing 1-0 away at Kofu. Kofu went close on the half hour in this game with the ever-impressive Motoki Hasegawa rattling the crossbar, but it was 0-0 at half-time. The vital goal arrived midway through the second half when Hidehiro Sugai fired in a low diagonal shot from the corner of the penalty area, and the ball made its way into the net via a deflection from Machida centre-back Kota Fukatsu. It was nearly 2-0 late on when Junma Miyazaki had a shot that hit the crossbar, and then the ball rebounded off the post but didn't cross the line. Kofu Stadium announcer had already set off Kofu's goal celebration music, and it had to be cut short abruptly. Classic J-League there. And it finished Kofu 1, Machida 0. A third straight win for Kofu, who are up into 10th place and looking a lot better after a shaky start. For Machida, not time to panic, I don't think, but they look a little bit short of ideas at the moment. There was more misery for Omiya, second bottom of the table still, as they lost 2-0 up in Yamagata. This game was pretty much over at half time, as Yamagata were already 2-0 in front. In the 16th minute, the home side took the lead when Yoshiki Fujimoto converted a low cross from Shintaro Kokubu, and the home side doubled their lead with a penalty in the 35th minute when Ibuki Fujita's cross hit Masakazu Tashiro's hand inside the penalty area. Fujita himself converted the penalty, firing the ball straight down the middle of the goal. And it finished Yamagata 2, Omiya 0. Yamagata seemed to be on the up finally, with two wins and a draw from their last three games, but they're still only 16th in the table. Omiya now 5 points adrift of safety, just 6 points all season, five fewer than the team who are third bottom, which is Iwate. There was a superb away win for Akita in the only game that was played on Sunday, 1-0 at high-flying Gunma, and it was former Gunma striker Shota Aoki who scored the vital goal, brilliantly heading in a swirling cross from Ryutaro Iyo. The away team nearly made it 2-0 midway through the second half, but Gunma's keeper Masatoshi Kushibiki did well to block an effort from Yuko Takase at close range. At the other end, Akita goalkeeper Yoshiaki Arai also showed his class with a great save from Hiroto Hatao's header late on, Arai getting down low to squeeze the ball against the post and keep it out. Right at the death, Shu Hiramatsu hit the top of the crossbar with a header, but that was Gunma's last chance and it finished Gunma 0, Akita 1. Akita up into 15th, unbeaten in their last three games. Gunma will still be pretty happy to be 6th, I think. This was a first defeat in 4 games for them. Finally, for round 11, if the Gunma-Akita game produced exactly the sort of matchup we might have expected, a tight game settled by a single goal, then so did Mito's home game against Yamaguchi. This one finished 3-2, with Yutaka Sonida scoring a 92nd-minute winner for the home side. It was Yamaguchi, though, who were 1-0 up at the break after Kazuhito Kishida's 14th-minute goal. A nice finish clipped over the goalkeeper after Hirofumi Watanabe had done brilliantly to chest the ball down from a long goal kick and set Kishida up. But it was 1-1 on the hour mark. Yamaguchi have been watching too much European football on DAZN, I think. They lost the ball, messing around at the back. Goalkeeper Kentaro Seki put central midfielder Kensuke Sato in trouble with a hospital pass, and Mito's Yuto Hiratsuka nipped in to steal possession and feed Kosuke Kinoshita, who comfortably beat Seki to score the equaliser. The game then went full Mito from the 69th minute. First, Mizuki Ando set up Kazuma Takai, who drove a fierce left-footed shot past Seki to make it 2-1 to the home side. Muted celebrations from Takai, who of course played at Yamaguchi for the last couple of seasons. 2 minutes after that, Yamaguchi were level when Ryoto Kodama was left unmarked at the far post to volley past Mito's goalie Luis Yamaguchi to make it 2-2. And then came Sonida's last gasp winner, a low shot from about 20 yards that crept inside Seki's left-hand post to delight most of the fans inside K's Denki Stadium. The final score, Mito 3, Yamaguchi 2. Mito's first win in 5 matches, but they're still only 19th in the standings. Yamaguchi, I think, will be fairly satisfied to be in 12th place after 11 rounds. And before we say goodbye for now, there's a chance to just take a quick preview look at the round 12 fixtures. All of these games coming up on Wednesday night, April the 27th, as we enter the busy Golden Week sprint period of the season. On Wednesday evening, we have an appetizer at 6:30 p.m. as Akita take on Okayama. And as usual, the majority of their games are at 7 p.m. There's Omiya hosting Gunma. Omiya second bottom, of course, with Gunma in 6th. Jeff Chiba host Yamaguchi. One of the biggest games on the slate is probably Yokohama FC hosting Machida. That's first place against 5th. Niigata host Iwate. It's Tokushima versus Yamagata, Nagasaki versus Mito, and Oita versus Tochigi. Other intriguing games, second place Sendai go away to 14th place Kumamoto, and rock bottom Ryukyu, they really need to start winning sooner rather than later, don't they? They're hosting a 7th place Kanazawa. And there's one match at 7:30. It's Kofu's game at home to 3rd place Tokyo Verdy. Okay, I think that's all the round 11 action rounded up, and a quick preview of round 12 as well. Hope everybody enjoys the football on Wednesday night and Golden Week in general. Please stay tuned, because in a moment, Magic Mike Innes is going to be with you. He has all the latest J3 news, including lots of results from Emperor's Cup qualifying tournaments played over the weekend. So that's all from me for now, but here comes Mike. Enjoy your football. Let's talk soon. Bye for now.
Hello everyone, and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini-pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and in this episode I'll be looking back on Thursday's rearranged Round 4 game and J3 Club's weekend participation in local qualifying tournaments for the Emperor's Cup, as well as previewing matches coming up in Round 7. Straight into the action this week, and on the evening of Thursday the 21st of April, Vanrare Hachinohe's miserable start to the season continued as they hosted Azul Claro Numazu in the match postponed from round 4. Hachinohe could have gone ahead in the 13th minute when Yusei Kayanuma and Aoi Sato combined cleverly down the left to set up Masashi Kokubun, whose low shot was cleared off the line by Terukazu Shinozaki. The other notable incident in the first half was when Numazu midfielder Kazuki Kijima was substituted after being kneed in the face by Yuki Aida, who somehow escaped without even a booking. Which reminds me, fun fact, the number of sendings off in J3 so far this season stands at 0. Azul Claro took the lead on 58 minutes, left-back Akira Osako hurling a long throw into the box for Tomoki Fujisaki to score from close range to the delight of the small band of away supporters. Vanrare thought they'd rescued a point with 9 minutes left as Masanobu Komaki's throw was controlled by Takumi Shimada, who managed to feed Ryo Watanabe for a near post finish, only for it to be ruled offside. 2 minutes later, Numazu's Malaysian forward Hadi Fayad made his long-delayed J-League debut when he came on as a substitute and, within seconds, was instrumental in his team confirming the victory, pressurising Tepe Chikaishi into a back pass that caught homekeeper Hayate Tsuta off his line and went in. Final score, Hachinohe 0, Numazu 2, only 3 goals and 3 points to show for 6 matches as Vanrare remains second bottom in the standings after a close season that seemed to promise much. Azul Claro boast 3 wins in the last 4 games and are up to 8th. Then over the weekend of the 23rd and 24th of April, there was a break in the league schedule. 11 J3 sides instead took part in local knockout tournaments, the winners of which go on to represent their home prefectures in the Emperor's Cup. On Saturday the 23rd, Ehime FC and FC Imabari both won semi-final ties in Ehime Prefecture, but did so by very different means. Ehime brushed aside prefectural leaguers Aso FC at the Ninjaneer Stadium. It was 2-0 at half-time thanks to Kei Oshiro, his first goal for the club, and Takeshi Kondo. Then, after the break, Oshiro quickly added another. Further goals from Shunsuke Motegi, Motoki Ohara and subs Kenta Uchida and Ryo Sato meant a final score of Ehime 7, Aso 0. Coach Kazuaki Hashikawa fielded a second string Imabari against Lubeni Rosso NC of the Shikoku League. Hashikawa had to wait until 10 minutes into the second half for his team to make the breakthrough. 20-year-old forward Misaki Haruyama getting his first goal in an Imabari shirt. The non-league side pulled level through Shintaro Nakamura with 9 minutes remaining, and the tie looked to be heading for penalties until Taisei Takase rescued the J3 big guns with an injury time decider. Final score, Imabari 2, Lebeni Rosso 1. Ehime and Imabari thus meet in the prefectural final. There were more local semi-finals on Sunday the 24th. In Fukushima Prefecture, J3 leaders Fukushima United overcame Higashi Nippon International University. Highly rated youngster Shoki Nagano put Fukushima ahead in only the third minute. It was 2-0 in the 10th minute through another teenager, Keita Shiba, and that's how it stayed. And Iwaki FC bounced back from their shock defeat at home to Imabari last week to beat Tohoku Leaguers Iwaki Furukawa 5-1. Rookie striker Ryo Arita added to his burgeoning reputation with 2 goals, the others coming from another rookie, Sota Nagai, Hiroto Iwabuchi and Kotaro Arima. Iwaki and Fukushima meet in their prefectural final. And down in Shizuoka Prefecture, the same is also true for another pair of J3 neighbours, Fujieda Mai FC and Azul Claro Numazu, after they won their semi-final ties. It was a near thing for both, however, Mai FC needing extra time to get past Shizuoka Sangyo University. Rookie midfielder Masaki Kanaura had put Fujieda in front after 9 minutes, but the students equalised 7 minutes before half-time. Mai FC then proceeded to fall behind 7 minutes into extra time, but a trio of substitutes, Keisuke Ogasawara, Tomoyuki Doi and Tsugatosha Oishi, saved the blushes of the J3 team. Final score, Fujieda 4, Shizuoka Sangyo University 2. Meanwhile, against Fujieda City Hall of the Torquay League, Azul Claro, who included Vietnamese midfielder Bui Ngoc Rong in the starting lineup for the first time, squeezed through 1-0 with a 90th minute penalty from Ryoma Kita. Over in Nagano Prefecture, Matsumoto Yamaga have been fast-tracked to the local final, but there they'll meet AC Nagano Paseiro, who beat Hokushinets League team Artista Asama 1-0, the goal coming 7 minutes from time via Naoki Sanda. And in Kanagawa Prefecture, SC Sagamihara made it through at the expense of Kanto League outfit Esperanza FC. Second half goals from veteran defender Jiro Kamata and Shogo Nakahara, giving Takuya Takagi's team a much needed 2-0 win. In the Kanagawa final, they will not, however, meet YSCC Yokohama, who suffered defeat at the hands of Toin University of Yokohama. Tomoya Hayashi gave the J3 Wooden Spooners the lead. It was 1-1 by half-time. The university side then went in front. Substitute Diego Taba pulled YSCC level, but the students scored again and it finished YSCC 2. Toin University of Yokohama 3. So it's the latter who go on to play Sagamihara in the local final. Speaking of which, there were also 2 prefectural finals played on Sunday, both ending in victory for the J3 team. Gainare Tottori overcame Yonago Genki SC of the Chugoku League. Rookies Sota Maruyama and Hideyatsu Ozawa scoring their first pro goals. Kazuya Ando, Naoya Senoo and Takeru Kiyonaga also finding the net. Final score, Tottori 5, Yonago Genki 0. Gainare play the representative from Oita Prefecture in the Emperor's Cup first round proper. Things were a bit trickier for Giravance Kitakyushu, who beat Fukuoka University 4-2 on penalties after a 0-0 draw with Giravance's young keeper Yuya Tanaka, the man of the match. And they'll play the Kagoshima representative in the first round. Just time now for a quick look ahead to the fixtures in J3 Round 7. There are 7 games on Friday the 29th of April. Leaders Fukushima aim to continue their unbeaten start but have a tough match at improving Ehime. Difficult too for second place Kagoshima, who go to Nagano. What sort of backlash will there be from Iwaki following their shock defeat in round 6? They're at home to struggling Hachinohe. It's 6th against 7th, Imabari against Miyazaki. Can Toyama start to assert their promotion credentials at home to Tottori? There's a mid-table clash at Kitakyushu, where Fujieda are the visitors. And there's a Kanagawa derby, Sagamihara hosting bottom side YSCC. The round concludes with 2 further matches on Saturday the 30th of April. Matsumoto are at home to mid-table Numazu. And can Gifu climb the table with a win at Sanuki? With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say thanks for listening. Enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.